Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And thanks for tuning in to another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. Wherever you're listening, I really appreciate it. I'm thankful for you tuning in, and let's help grow this game together. A game that is in a bit of crisis at the professional level, and here amateur-wise, we're still having our difficulties with COVID-19 and people scared to let kids back on the field and such. I want to thank those that are doing their part to give our kids football, like Len Antonini, Kelly Hamilton, Jeff Stusick, and all the gang over there, Regina Minor Football, those with Saskatoon Minor Football, putting on their academy up there. I know they kind of had some issues up there recently, but good on them for trying. Also, I wanted to thank Zelko and Deb Stefanovic for their great job of the 7-on-7 league. I went and checked that out this weekend. It's great to see kids back playing two-hand touch football with their helmets on, a 7-on-7 league for junior and varsity athletes. So yeah, thanks to them for their sponsorship of this podcast and helping develop the stars of tomorrow today. Thanks to my other sponsors, Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, Mark Greshner Photography, Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, SAS Selects Football, like I said, Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn, Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina, Face First Medical Aesthetics, second level of Gabos on Duty Avenue. And in this installment, I want to recognize a great coach at the amateur level. That would be one Kelly Rempel. Kelly Rempel, who is in the financial world, his wife owns Studio S Fashion House here in Regina, but he's been heavily involved because his son Spencer's a player in RMF, but he's been heavily involved coaching and helping to develop and build relationships in the amateur football ranks, one of the many that helped grow this great RMF football model that is the envy of many cities and communities across Canada. And our coach of the week this week is Kelly Rempel, coaching in the RMF, and coach of the week brought to you by our friends at Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies. Kelly, what level of football are you coaching now?
I'm coaching the Bantam Eagles. I'm the sort of jack-of-all-trades, fill-in-where-I-can coach. Last year, I coached my son's second year of Pee Wee, and I was the offensive line coach. This year, Ballsy, I'm kind of coaching a little bit of offensive line, a little bit of receivers. Chris Ashman's been kind enough to give me a little bit of influence in terms of the offense, although he is clearly the mastermind. But just really having a great time coaching with some very, very intelligent and smart football people, as I did last year.
So is it good for you to kind of be that, I like to call it at the RMF level, the quality control coach? You're all over the place. Is it good to wear a bunch of different hats for a guy like you? I guess what I'm trying to say is, does it help you become a better coach?
I would say that definitely helps you become a better coach. I think the other thing that really helps become a better coach, Ballsy, is just coaching with different staffs. Give you an example. The year before, last year, in my son Spencer's second year of Pee Wee on the Mustangs, I coached with Chris Briltz, who was the head coach. And, you know, there was B.K. Waldo and Mike Maurer was our offensive coordinator. He had a long CFL career. Andrew Bennett from Miami, who had a stint with the Rams and a short CFL tryout. You know, I coached with those guys, learned a tremendous amount from Mike Maurer, very, very smart offensive mind. And then this year coaching with Chris Ashman, who's a former Regina Ram, but also learning from a guy like Jeff Zimmer, who I think was a CIAU All-Star. I just started thinking about this morning. The last 2 years, I've had the pleasure of coaching with seven different guys that played on the Regina Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them played some pro. You know, Clayton Murray, our head coach this year, had a pretty good stint with the Thunder. Like, we're talking about, you know, very, very, very smart, you know, football minds. So when you're subjected and you have the opportunity to coach with a variety of different people doing a variety of different things, and you're working with the receivers, and then when, you know, a few years ago I did that, and then last year with the offensive line, I would say that what you said is right, because, you know, I'm the kind of guy, like, I'm a proud guy. I want to feel like when I come to practice, I'm prepared and I got something to offer. So I'm on YouTube looking at what the Notre Dame you know, drills that they put their offensive line through and things like that. You know, I'm always wanting to learn. I'm asking lots of questions. You know, our offensive line coach this year, Benji, this guy's one of the smartest football guys I've ever met in my life. He's got a long, I think you coached with Benji a few years ago.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
You know, he's got so many different drills and ideas. I'm like a sponge. I just really enjoy that part of it. So I think my strength as a coach is almost like the managing the game aspect of it. Like, I think I'm a pretty good student of when to punt, when to gamble, when to take your timeouts, when to do those kinds of things. I didn't play a really, really high level of football, so even a few years ago, going having the opportunity 3 years in a row to coach, be a guest coach at the Rams junior camp,
right,
and learning from those guys, I just feel like, you know, like I said, a sponge. I take as much in as I can, and I think you're right. The more different things you're subjected to and you have the opportunity to learn, you know, the better that you're going to improve as a coach and the more you'll have to offer in future years too.
People who listen to this podcast might remember the names Jamie Bailey and Mark Bernard from Regina Ram days back in the junior days. I played with both of those guys. Two good players, two better men. You were coming up the ranks with those guys, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, my last year that I graduated in 1990, I finished third in rushing. I know you're going to find that hard to believe, Balls.
No, I won't.
Look at me. You go. You look at Kelly Rempel and go, that guy actually was a decent high school football player. But that's what I was. I was decent. You know, I was pretty good. I finished third in the league in rushing that year. Jamie Bailey and Mark Bernard, the two guys you're talking about, played for Central. And, you know, they were 1 and 2. But to compare, I almost have to laugh, just to compare me to those two guys is an insult to those two guys.
Well, but
they were in a little bit of a different league than me, but I tried hard.
But honestly, though, what I like about it is you have a passion for football. And yeah, you may not have had been at their level, but you have a passion for football, got into coaching because of your son, Spencer. But as you just described a few minutes ago, you're soaking it all in. You love it. You love the aspect of teaching tomorrow's stars today, so to speak. And I like that. That's what the RMF is built on. So yeah, we can snicker that you weren't at their level or whatever, but you're carrying on and doing some great things and coaching with some good guys. So obviously you're step for step with some of these guys, which is awesome. That's what I love about it too. Not just the players, but the coaches. They can come from different backgrounds and it's, you know yourself and all the sports and all the guys we've talked to, even like your buddy, Brett Hitman Hart. If you ask him, he'll remember some of his matches, but he'll remember more of the stories in the hotels or in the locker room. It's those relationships that are key.
BK Waldo, who I coached with last year, hit the nail on the head when we were having a conversation. He said, of all of the things that he takes away from, whether it be playing, coaching, all of it, is the relationships. It's the relationships that he's cultivated with guys that he coached, guys over at the car lot that come over and that he coached, you know, 10 years ago, that now they got their driver's license and they want to get a car, you know, and they want to buy it from him, you know, you're bang on. And, you know, look, I've had so much fun the last couple of years meeting so many different people and really enjoying the experience. And the great thing about it too, is it does tend to get a little bit competitive. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes I think we all have to, like, the competitiveness and the juices get flowing, and you know what it's like. I mean, you get caught up, and sometimes you do have to remember, like, these guys are 10 or they're 11 or they're 13 or 14 years old or whatever. But the passion that most of us have is we don't, it's not just about winning. I mean, of course we want to win, Balls. You want to win, yeah. I want to win, everybody wants to win. That's why things get heated sometimes, and sometimes, you know, after the game, you know, you might have a laugh about it, but at the time it's pretty intense. But it's because we love planting a seed and watching it grow, you know?
100%.
I think of kids that I coached when I was a head coach at lower levels of football, Mighty Mites and Adam and whatnot. Now I watch some of these guys, whether they're on my team or other teams, and they're just like dominating these games, and they're playing great, and they're like some of the star players in our league, and it makes me feel really good. But you know who I actually, what I take more pride in, is that guy that it didn't come easy. Like that kid that didn't just show up and he was such a great athlete that he was like, you know, making every block and making every tackle and, you know, ran faster than everybody else. Sometimes it's those kids that they show up, they're a little shy, they're a little timid, they're not quite, they don't have, maybe have that confidence. And a couple of years later, you know, you'd like to think that you had something to do with their confidence being much higher. Or, you know, they weren't even sure if they really liked football when they started it. They didn't really like the contact. They weren't really sure about, like, ah, I don't know if this is for me. And then 3 years later, they're still playing, and they're good at it.
That's the key.
And they love it.
That's the key, Kelly. You hit the nail right on the head. I always thought my thing was, nobody's going to remember who won the bloody Pee Wee Championship 10 years from now. I always thought my goal as a coach is to keep the kid interested in the sport so he goes to the next level. If he goes to the next level, I've done my job.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And the reality is, look, let's face it. It doesn't really matter what we do in some cases. There are some kids that just aren't, I want to choose my words carefully, but they're just not cut out for football. That's just not, they may be cut out, but maybe they're cut out for flag football. Maybe they can still enjoy it, but just without the, you know, the, the blocking and the tackling and the more physical aspect of it. And that's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
But you know what? There is nothing more rewarding than watching that kid make his first tackle.
Yeah.
And the team goes nuts. And they're jumping up and down, and they're patting him on the back, and he's just beaming ear to ear. And guess what he's going to do? He's probably going to make another tackle because now he's starting to get it, and it's starting to come. And when the dad or the mom come up to you at the end of the year and they pat you on the back and say, thank you for what you've done for my son, that is what it's all about.
Yeah, 100.
The rest of it, whatever. We try to win. Like, I'm not going to lie to you and say I don't care whether we beat the Stampeders next weekend. Of course I do. But I mean, like, you're right. When you look back at it years from now, I'm not probably not going to remember the score, but I'll remember the guys I coached with.
Yeah.
The players when they're now 18 years old and I meet them in a Lowe's or at a Western Pizza having breakfast and they walk in and they, hey, coach.
Coach is key. When they call you coach, it's like, yeah, that's like a badge of honor. It's like you've got a medal of valor. Yeah, I'm the coach. That's awesome. I love that too.
Yeah.
Hey, Kelly, Thanksgiving weekend, just to wrap up, what are you most thankful for this week? It could be in sports, could be in life. Because there's been so much negativity in 2020. You know, one of my heroes just passed away, Eddie Van Halen. We've lost Kobe Bryant, Neil Peart. I mean, COVID-19. People have lost a lot of money. Businesses affected. But what are you thankful for?
Well, I guess the easy answer is, fortunately, knock on wood, nobody in my family has been affected by COVID, and, you know, we've kind of dodged that bullet. You know, I'm not going to lie, when your kids are playing sports, and both my kids are, you know, they love to compete, and, you know, my daughter's in cheer, my son's in football, and you know, basketball, hopefully, in the spring, and all those kinds of things. You know, you do worry a little bit about, you know, like, is something going to happen? But I don't think you can stop living your life. You know, at least that's where I come from, is let's be respectful. Let's socially distance. Let's wash our hands. Let's not be back slapping and doing all that kind of stuff. But I think you can socially distance and be safe. And still, you know, you need to live your life. You need to go to work. Your kids need to play sports. They need to have fun. We can't just live like hermits for the rest of our life. But it does cross your mind, and so I'm thankful that quite frankly, none of my friends and family have, you know, I have a couple friends that have had people that are very close to them, look at you, that know people that have got COVID, but I haven't had any friends or family members that have had it, or their kids have had it, or their moms or dads that have died or, like, been really, really, really sick. So I'm crossing my fingers and toes that that continues. So I don't know if that's a great answer or not, but I'm just grateful that, you know, we've gotten through this year and you know, or has business been as what it was? No, for both my wife and I. But you know what? In the end, like 35 years from now, is that really going to matter in the big picture? No. But when people are getting sick and some of the really nasty stuff you see, you will remember that, obviously. So don't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
How's Ethan doing?
He's doing great. Well, I mean, he still can't taste or smell anything, which is I'm thankful for. I can't imagine that, but I'm thankful that he's back practicing. And he actually just sent me a message saying that he's on the first team punt block. So the special teams guy pulled him aside and said he's on the first team punt block, which is great. He said, "Dad, if I'm going to make it in pro football, you got to be a grinder. I probably have to start on special team." So that's good. That's a positive out of
most
this.
Most underrated part of the game, specialty teams.
150%, my friend. Hey, thanks for this. I really appreciate it. I'm thankful for our friendship. And hey, before we go here, our coach of the week for Pizza Hut, Kelly Rempel, give a shout out to your business and your wife's business too. Let's do that.
Okay. Well, my business is Rempel and Dusick Financial. We're at 302 University Park Drive, but you'll probably be more familiar with the intersection. We're at University Park in Arcola. You can see the sign. Financial advisor. If you got a pension, you're retiring, or you've been laid off, whatever.
Yeah.
I hate to talk about that stuff, but it is a part of the reality these days, unfortunately. Or, you know, you're not sure what to do with your pension, or you want a plan. You know, you've been investing for a while, but you're not really sure exactly maybe the best way to go about doing it. Or maybe you need some life or disability insurance. Give me a call. You can reach me at 306-537-2007, or get a hold of you and you can pass my contact information on. And my wife's store is called Studio S Fashion House. We're on East Quants, and not a real big market right now for, you know, medium to high end women's clothing when there's no grads or weddings or people aren't going on a lot of trips. Our business has dropped a bit, but we're hanging in there and we're determined to see the other side. And you know, we'd love to see any women that want some beautiful clothes. Thanks for the opportunity to meet. There's another thing I'm thankful for, the opportunity to plug my businesses. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and shop local. I've always said that. Hey, one last thing, that famous intersection, okay? I'm driving out to my house in White City the other day, and I see these police lights, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's a big accident in Arcola. Like, what is going to go on here? But I pull past, and this unbelievable old classic Chevy just got demolished right by your office. Did you see that? Did you have front row seat to that? That's just crazy.
Did I see it? I almost was in tears for this poor guy. He's driving a powder blue 1957 Chevy, and you know that the guy probably only takes it out 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, you know, times a year.
Probably
it
his probably last time.
Probably cost them tens of thousands of dollars to refurbish this thing. And it looks like a sandwich that's been stepped on 7 or 8 times. Like, and
what a way to put it.
Just looked like an old chip bag that's been put in the oven.
Oh, and it must have got absolutely crushed because, I mean, that thing is built like a tank. Like, it wouldn't fold easy like these cars now, like a cheap accordion. Like, this thing got hammered.
Yeah, it was not good. And, you know, it's unsettling and unnerving when you're looking out your window at work and there's 2 fire trucks, 2 ambulances, and about 9 cop cars. And the stretchers and, you know, the paramedics are there and, you know, and all you're thinking about is like, I mean, it's terrible that the guy, you know, the car got schmucked, but you're also kind of a little sick to your stomach as you're going like, I hope this guy's okay. Now I heard he was, banged up a little bit, but you know, he's going to be okay. But yeah, oh man, that you don't see too many collisions like that at that intersection, some fender benders, but this was King Kong Bundy versus Little Beaver.
I felt so bad for the guy. He's probably on his last drive of the year, or one of his last drives of the year, just enjoying himself. It's probably somebody, I don't know the details of the accident, but probably somebody texting just hammers the guy, ruins his car. And when I drove past it, Kelly, I was like, even that crumpled heap looked nice. Like the sun was glistening off the paint job. And it's like, oh my God.
It was not good.
No.
It was not good.
I'll tell you what, though. It's a busy intersection because everybody wants to get in there to see Kelly Rempel for their financial needs. So keep your head up at that intersection. Thanks for this, Kelly. Take care, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Time now for the Pick 6 brought to you by SAS Selects Football here on this Thanksgiving weekend. I was out there in Moose Jaw watching their 7-on-7 league, watching some varsity football. They also had some junior varsity going on out there. It's great that they're doing what they can to allow the kids to enjoy the sport of football during this pandemic. All right, number one on Ballsy's Pick 6, that crazy Canuck, Chase Claypool. 3 receiving touchdowns, 110 yards receiving. He also had a rushing touchdown. 4 touchdowns in a game. That's the most by a rookie in NFL history. Now, Claypool grew up in Vancouver, said he was more interested in the CFL than the NFL growing up because he figured it would be his best path to pro football. But obviously, that's not the case as he went to Notre Dame and now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a second-round pick. Reuben Mays from North Battleford was the NFL's offensive rookie of the year back in 1986, a 2-time Pro Bowler with the New Orleans Saints. Claypool will be on his way, if he keeps playing like this, to be in the offensive rookie of the year. And the dude is probably going to go down as the best Canadian skill player ever. Could be. Who knows? He's off to a great start. That's for sure. Number 2 on Ballsy's Pick 6. Of course, it's got to be Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. A compound fracture and dislocation of that right ankle. He had surgery, and that injury's awful in so many ways. Of course, we've got the physical pain, the rehab, and long recovery. But he's also playing on that franchise tag, which is a tool that owners use to control labor costs because they aren't sold on him long-term as a player, but they don't want to lose him. I'm always, always for the player getting the cash. And it's ironic that Prescott goes down on the same day when Washington quarterback Alex Smith comes back to action after being out for almost 2 years when he broke both bones in his right lower leg. 17 surgeries were needed to save that leg and his career. Now, he was sacked 6 times by Aaron Donald and the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. It was the 4th straight loss for the Washington football team, but by virtue of being on the field for, 29 snaps, Alex Smith is your comeback player of the year. What a great story. If you haven't seen that E60 show on him and his recovery, make sure you do yourself a favor and find it because it's unbelievable. Number 4, this is long overdue. The Falcons can their coach Dan Quinn and their GM Thomas Dimitroff. Since the team choked away a 28-3 Super Bowl lead to the Patriots a few years back, this team has gone 7-9, 7-9, and now 0-5. And this season, of course, well documented, they blew 2 huge fourth quarter leads, including that stupid watermelon onside kick from the Cowboys. Dimitroff is a Guelph grad who helped build a team that had 6 playoff appearances in his 12 seasons as general manager. But as the story goes, the players need to get paid, so the contract shot through the roof and there was not really a return on investment since signing Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and those type of players to big deals. And of course, the drafts haven't been as good lately too. So Dimitroff and Dan Quinn are out in Atlanta. No surprise there. Number 5 on Ballsy's Pick 6 for the SAS Selects football program. Who else but the Raiders? Yes, Derek Carr won for the first time at Arrowhead. Raiders break a 7-game slide against Kansas City. It was the first loss for the Chiefs since November of 2019. That's a span of 13 games. And, you know, the Chiefs, they've kind of been punch drunk here. A few weeks ago in Los Angeles, Justin Herbert, the rookie, finds out right before the game that he's in there, almost wins the game against the Chiefs. And then the Patriots last week, they were tight with the Chiefs too for three quarters till they turned the ball over too much. But the Raiders go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Derek Carr outplays Patrick Mahomes. I heard it said somewhere, but this was like Rocky versus Drago in Rocky IV. And yes, the big Russian got a surprising cut on his cheek, that being the Chiefs. Now, the Raiders have proven they can go toe-to-toe with the big boys, but can they consistently do it? That's the question. That was definitely the win of the season. I don't care who's playing. I don't care the time zone. I don't care the game. That's the win of the season so far in the NFL. And number six on Ballsy's Pick Six, the NFL is determined to press on despite COVID-19. They reworked the schedule for eight teams. It's like a scheduling Jenga puzzle, if you will. It'll be real interesting to see how the schedule plays out, but I would be shocked if everyone has 16 games. And if teams continue to screw around like the Titans were, they definitely should look at some forfeits. And one extra point here, Mike Zimmer of the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, I know all the analytics tell you, oh, you got to go for it there down there deep in Seattle's territory. You're worried that Seattle's going to come back and make a last-minute drive. I know you are. So kick the field goal right there and make them drive the field to just have a chance to tie you. I don't know what Mike Zimmer was doing there late in that game, but God, these coaches get paid millions of dollars to have a brain cramp. I'd love to have a chance to make millions to have a brain cramp. I have them every time I do a podcast, for gosh sakes, and I'm not making millions. Mike Zimmer, what are you doing? Listen, stats belong in football. I get it. Stats belong in sports. But are you with me? Sports nerds are ruining sports. They're ruining the game of football. Oh, but if he hits the right hole there, the game's over. Yeah, but he didn't. And the game was over. And Seattle won because you listen to sports nerds. Never turn down the points.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.